Good morning. Today is Tuesday. You like that?
It is Tuesday.
May the 3rd.
You're right.
Yeah, all right. Yes.
You're having a good day.
142nd day of the new year. Joining us this morning is recovering CPA, Bill McCauley.
Hey, Brian. How are you?
Are you back up to full speed yet?
Oh, yeah. It's actually, it takes a few days to kind of get after the busy season to start. It's a change of schedule, Brian. It's just, I don't know what to do with myself.
And applying suntan lotion and having to wear sunglasses. Yeah. All those things that outside does.
Yeah, it's like, so that brightness outside, what is that?
Yeah. Somebody changed the light bulbs in the street lights.
Exactly.
What was the takeaway from this tax season? Was there any one thing or two things that leapt out at you?
Well, I think it was a challenging year for a lot of reasons, but by the same token, I do think the fact that the tax law was a little more settled made things better than for as an example, the year before the season, when we prepared tax returns in 2015, it was really difficult because the tax law was settled so late that the IRS wasn't ready, tax software program companies were struggling to keep up, and that was better this year. And I think that made the start go a little better. The downside is information keeps coming out later and later, which is pushing certain segments of what we do later and later into the season. And that, so the workload compression issues are still significant for us.
Yeah, I would think it would be frustrating if you got 95% of the project done. But you can't take it off the desk and you can't cross it off the list. It's still pending.
Yeah. There are challenges, there's challenges in what everybody does. And sometimes when you're in the middle of your own challenge, you think it's the worst challenge out there. But the reality is every business has got its challenging cycles. And we're just so busy then that, it's hard to deal with. Anything that goes a little sideways can push things really sideways because, you want the skids nice and greased and everything going really smoothly. And then something jumps up.
And Papstein shows up.
It just takes a little IT issue or, telephone issue or fax machines aren't working right. They're just these
things that normally are little bumps.
Yeah, the things become, that we kind of assume just are going to be fine. And then they bump up every once in a while, and you go, gee, this isn't working right, and we really need it to be working. And people are, not as productive right now because X isn't working the way it should. And
what about with the deadline being on the 18th rather than the 15th? Did that make things smoother or did that complicate life?
Well, we also had February 29th this year. So being a leap year, we had an extra day there, and then we had 3 days at the end. And I think that some people were more likely to say, I don't really care. I'm going to try to be done by April 15th. And other people probably used that time. So, we saw a little bit of both in our office. I was in pretty good shape on April 15th, and I didn't work the 16th and 17th. I came back and worked the 18th. But I left town and went up to see my wife in Oregon on Friday evening.
As contrasted to your California wife?
Yes, Mike. I saw my wife in Oregon, only wife, the love of my life.
Yeah, we'll be back with pitchforks and shovels when we come back. It's 8:19.
You've never heard us before because we're something brand new. It's called Destination Radio. If you live in Ferndale or Gold Beach, Blue Lake or Klamath, Brookings or Eureka, you'll be looking for someplace different to take the family, something special to do next weekend. The best destinations for day trips and overnights, for hiking or biking, for beachcombing or birdwatching, and you'll turn to us for ideas, because you're the reason we're here, to help you find your close-to-home destination. Stay, play, and relax with us. Destination Radio.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:24. We're back talking shop this morning with Bill McCauley. Married Bill McCauley,
yep,
one
still,
time.
Still married.
Jeez. What What are you sensing out there in the business community right now? I think if you are unaware, businesses pay taxes just as individuals pay taxes. Yep. I was looking outside when I said that, not looking at Bill. Mm-hmm. What trends did you see, or were there any trends between those two subsets?
I think we're seeing increased health in the business community. I think we're starting to, we're seeing the in Humboldt County, obviously, when the state of California is going gangbusters, we go a little better. We tend to be kind of insulated from the deep lows and from some of the higher highs, and so we muddle around kind of closer to the middle. And I think things are better right now. I think we're seeing our business clients are all doing a little bit better, or some doing a lot better. There are a few that are struggling too, but for the most part, I think that there's some green shoots out there in the economy. Now, the question is going to be nationally, what's going to happen with the economy? I mean, we're due for a recession. And so, is that going to come? And, would it be a deeper or more shallow? I mean, there's some argument that, we kind of avoided a recession from the middle of the 80s forward by micromanaging the economy. So when we finally got a recession, there's some people who look at that and say, that's why we got a doozy. We kind of had a lot of pent-up recession there. And so when things went south, they went really, really south. My sense, though, is that things are okay. We're kind of holding our breath in this community as to some significant issues, the legalization of marijuana issue and what, where that's going to go and how that's, how that's even going to work. And, you're talking about taking a segment of the economy that's been underground and trying to bring it to the surface. And some people, as an example, if they've been cultivating, they may not have been paying any income taxes. And now all of a sudden they're going to find out what tax rates are, and they're not pretty.
I forget where it was, but it stuck in my head. The last couple of weeks, they were talking about the permitting that the county is doing and doing it above boards and legit business and all this stuff. And one of the big boys, major growers, was saying, yeah, that's what we're going to be doing. And these other guys, and they were younger. Uh-huh. Said, there's no way in the world we're going to do that. Do you know how much it costs in paying taxes and payroll taxes and OSHA and to do it legal?
Yeah.
And it's like, you moron, of course. Well, that's what we've all been carrying on our backs.
That's an interesting argument. And when you look at that and you think about, okay, you've got some people in the community who would like to see protection for existing growers because they were here, and yet...
Oh, or a little restraint of trade in the mix also?
Yeah. And so, the point being that it's not easy being in business. And you think if we get to a point where there's legalization and you want to become legitimate, you're going to pay a lot of taxes and you're going to find out that it's not as easy and it's going to get more and more difficult because once it's regulated, the government has a real interest in the revenue stream associated with it and they're going to try to find a way to be effective with it.
Documentation associated with it, whether it's just sales tax or value-added tax or whatever they're going to call it, or sin tax, but all the tracking that they're talking about, kind of like from the field to the – or farm to the table or whatever the thing is in – like with tomatoes, wanting to do the same thing here.
Yeah.
I had an interesting argument brought forth by a fella and – he used the wine industry as an example, but there are a number of other industries also where seasonal employment is. But in many of these niches, you have to provide lodging for the individuals, like the wine industry. Hmm. When the folks come to town, you have to provide lodging for them. That's part of the cost of doing, legal cost of doing. The question was, okay, during harvest season, is the marijuana industry going to have to be, or going to be held to the same standards, so that you don't have a bunch of these trimmigrants hanging around on the corners, or not having anywhere to go, or sleeping on somebody's property, whether it's public or private, or are they going to be a responsible industry, or are they going to be one that just is kind of coming out from the shadows?
Well, I think it's going to take a long time for all of it to settle out. I just think that all those changes are going to be, should they happen, I think are going to take a long time to get absorbed. And I think for people who've been used to running outside the rule of law, to make the jump and go 180 degrees another direction and say, okay, now we're going to try to comply with everything, I think there's going to be a lot of frustration. There's going to be expectations that are blown out of the water. And that been said, you know, so I mean, I think it's a brave new world. It's, you know, I mean, it's this is something that we don't know, you know. It's, I won't call it uncharted territory because in this country we've dealt with legalization issues of other things in other times, but I do think it's going to be really fascinating to see what happens. And, you know, does Humboldt mean anything? You know, I mean,
hasn't it been an interesting argument over the last year or so?
Yeah.
Some perceiving that it does, and others perceiving that it's a commodity,
and
that there's no intrinsic value.
And you know, I think probably somewhere in the middle is probably true. It's probably real. I think that there is some intrinsic value. I mean, anyway, I'm saying this not having.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, we're both on the outside looking in on this one.
Yeah, I mean, I have no ore in this issue, but anyway.
It's 8:30.
Yeah.
What could we do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:35. Welcome back to the Brave New World, Mr. McCauley.
Aldous Huxley?
Yes. Talk shop. Even this one is presented by Redeck and CDH Painting.
You didn't clear it with them, did you?
Yeah, never.
Sorry, Dwayne.
Yeah, Foster's probably passed out now. Oh, you mentioned green shoots, that you were getting some indications that there are some businesses that are showing signs of growth and success.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of intriguing because kind of what we've been hearing is static at best. You know, that whole argument, this is the new norm, which really I despise entirely because that means that you're accepting whatever it is. But certainly the state of California is doing some things, the minimum wage issue being entered into the equation. A 50% increase over 3 or 4 years seems horrific if you like having a job. Things of that nature that are out on the horizon. Are you sensing the businesses with these green shoots are going to have enough green to be able to anticipate and accommodate some of the new changes?
Yeah, those things are really scary.
EPA is going to change too. Exactly. I mean, there's going to be a lot more regulatory stuff, particularly if the state perceives that it's an unhealthy situation, because that's when this stuff gets put in.
Yeah. The minimum wage escalation is going to really create major problems for a lot of businesses and not-for-profits. And, you know, it becomes very, very challenging when if you're the blood bank and you're hiring people, high school students, to call potential donors and ask and remind them that they're eligible to make a donation, and that's ultimately going to be a $15 an hour job. What that ultimately is going to do is going to drive the pay scale up, or at least it's going to be, you know, the people who have been there for X number of years and are making $15 an hour at something a more skilled level of labor, in effect. Now all of a sudden you're going to be, those people aren't going to be very happy if they're at the bottom. So you're going to have to find a way to try to have that be filtered throughout the organization. But it's really going to be difficult. And I don't know, you know, I mean that the trajectory of the increase is so steep that I think it's going to be very, you know, I think that we're going to see that, you know, you think about restaurants and coffee shops and places They're going to have a lot of trouble absorbing that. I mean, how much are we willing to pay for our drive-through cup of coffee? How much are you willing to pay for a hamburger and French fries from a fast food restaurant? And all those, you know, and maybe what ends up happening is that it's a further incentive for increasing efficiency. And, you know, it's going to reduce, ultimately, it's going to create less opportunity for labor because
through automation,
employers are going to look for increasing automation to try to try to be able to avoid some of the increased costs. So, I mean, the problem with it, I mean, the governor acknowledged that, you know, he didn't know if it made any economic sense.
Well, and 6 months before, he had said he would not.
Yeah, and it clearly makes political sense, but it probably, right. You know, anyway, I mean, depending on what your bias is, and we all have different biases looking at these things. To me, I look at it and think, ultimately, it's going to be really problematic, and it's going to put a lot of burden on certain employers, and that ultimately is going to filter through the entire labor market, and going to create challenges for all of us to try to accommodate that.
So the green shoots that you were referencing, with that is kind of a set aside, but it's out there. Are they strong enough? Are they in certain sectors? Are they able to withstand potential issues, whether it's that or something else? I mean, there's going to be other things between here and there that are going to be challenges for business.
There are some that are. There are some organizations, I think, that are going to be strong enough and they'll withstand this kind of stuff. There are others that I think clearly won't because it's going to be too burdensome. And ultimately, you know, if you can't operate profitably, you've got to look and say, okay, well, what am I doing here? And you know, is the risk worth the reward? Well, you know, if your house is on the line but your labor costs are now eating you up, or your compliance cost or whatever it might be, those things ultimately make people question whether or not they're doing what they should, you know, and whether it makes sense. You know, the thing about it here is we don't have, at least ostensibly, we don't have any, you know, we don't have those industries we used to have and rely on here. You know, I think back to when you and I were in high school, Brian, you know, the guys I, you know, played football with, you know, their dads worked at the mills. They had great jobs at the mills, and it allowed them to buy a house and raise their family and send their kids off, maybe not to Stanford, but to a state school and do all those things. Those jobs don't exist anymore. And so you start looking around going, okay, well, you know, what do we do to replace those, you know, the jobs that will sustain our...
Yeah, and the rural portions of the state... What options are there?
Yeah, and conversely, you're hearing employers going, I can't get good people. You know, I can't get them to pass a drug test, things of that nature. So it's these things are really, you know, we're at a really challenging point in our existence. You know, we as Americans, we like our comforts, and we're willing to sacrifice some things to have certain types of comforts. And, you know, do we have the necessary work ethic to successfully, you know, navigate the waters that are ahead? I don't know.
So how do you strategize or start to determine? Because I would think that if you are inclined, if you're going to make a run at it, you want to make a run at it, but you can't do that in 6 months. Mm-hmm. And if you're not inclined, okay, as you approach that timeline, either everybody's going to be looking to be absorbed by somebody else and you're going to have a glut on the market, mm-hmm. or you're just not going to have any interest at all.
Yeah, I think that for small businesses, scaling is going to be you know scaling in a healthy way is going to be really important. Managing growth is really challenging, and I think to manage growth effectively and maintain adequate levels of working capital while doing it are really going to be at a premium, particularly in situations where you have rising labor costs. And what we need here in my opinion in Humboldt County and in our surrounding environments. Is more jobs that are paying wages that are living wage, and they're quality jobs, and we don't see that trend. I don't see that trend really working. You know, you look at the challenges they're having in healthcare right now. Our community is not being able to effectively attract and retain great,
healthcare professionals.
So now, you know, we're actually seeing it. You know, we're having a net loss. And people can't get a doctor, and open door clinic is the primary care for 60% of the residents of the county or whatever. It's some crazy statistic. I probably just mangled that, and I apologize to whoever whoever would be offended by my completely missing that. But I do know that it's a major number. And so, you know, we're starting to look and say, okay, how are we going to do these things? How are we going to address all these challenges over time? And, you know, I mean, I think, you know, I'm not one to shirk away from the challenge, but I think that we're going to have to devote our energies. You know, you, Brian, are interested in, you know, what are we going to do at last chance grade? What's going to happen there? Do we have to wait until the thing falls into the ocean and we have no viable workaround, or can we get something worked on now so that we've solved the problem before it becomes, you know, goes beyond the crisis area?
You know, so does the marijuana industry replace the timber industry and bring us back on our footing, or is it a way for government to get some revenue streams and a little bit of employment, but not a ton?
Well, depends who you talk to, I guess. There are people who are pretty actively involved in the cannabis legalization issues, and you know, they think that there's some real viable future for us. It's difficult to see how that works, taking people from out of the shadows into the light and going and addressing all that. So I don't know.
KINS, News and Information Times, 844. We'll be back with more from Bill McCauley.
What's the shopping show all about?
If you haven't listened to the show before, it's kind of tough to describe.
I guess the easiest first step is to simply go to the Shopping Show website.
TheShoppingShow.net.
And join us this Saturday for the next Shopping Show.
On KINS 106.3 FM.
KURY FM 95.3 and 101.3 in the Illinois Valley.
And KEKA 101.5 and 100.9 in Eureka.
Good morning. It's 8:49. We're back talking shop with Bill McCauley. Bill, looking at what this year means going down the road, we've talked a little bit about the marijuana industry here locally. Is there anything else that you see out there that these businesses with the green shoots might be able to take advantage of?
Well, it's so case by case, Brian. I mean, you look at some people. I mean, some of the businesses that are doing real well are serving Southern Humboldt
sure.
agricultural interests. So, you know,
the soon to be legalized industry. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, maybe. I mean, that's what we're all assuming. Yeah. But, you know, the question really comes is, what's the future going to bring? And we don't know the answer. And that means some of these folks are going to have some interesting situations.
Yeah. May you live in an interesting time, sir.
Yes,
thanks
sir.
For coming by.
Thank you, Brian.
See you all tomorrow morning.